but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Look, I went to Chico State. I played baseball at Chico State. I get some grief from that, from my kids. They make fun of me. Our next guest is a golfer headed to the U.S. Open who also went to Chico State. Alistair Dougherty, the pride of Vancouver, joining us now. How are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Tell me about your experience at Chico State, and let's sell our audience on what a great school that is.
It is an unbelievable school, and people only kind of know it as a party school and an athletic school, but the academics are very highly rated as well.
Thank you for saying that. I also remember going to bars on St. Patrick's Day at 6 a.m., and I don't know if that was academic or not, but I don't know if that was a tradition that continued or not. Hey, you made a U.S.
You learn a lot. I think you learn a lot from that.
You do? You do? The first year,
yeah,
though,
absolutely.
I didn't know. The first year, I had no idea. I went to school, and the professor is like, what are you doing here? And he's like, everybody's at the bars. I was like, what? It's like 8 a.m. I'm in my class. I should not have been there. So, yeah, it's a good social. And here's the other thing people don't get. Like, Alistair, like, tell me this. You walk by somebody in that town, everybody's friendly. Like, people would always, they'd say hi to you. A lot of campuses, they don't do that.
Yeah, everybody waves, everybody's friendly. You see everybody around town and in the classroom. So it's an awesome town. I enjoyed my 4 years there.
There you go. Alistair Dougherty with us. You have qualified for the U.S. Open. Congrats on that. You're going to your first major. Help take us through that. How big of a breakthrough is that for you personally, and how good did that feel?
Thank you. And it felt great. I actually got off to a really rough start. I was 4 over through 16 holes and made 2 birdies on 17, 18 in the morning round, and just got off to a good start in the afternoon. And down the stretch, I made 2 birdies in the last 3 holes to get in. And I am so excited for Oakmont. From everybody that I talk to, my game translates to a long, hard golf course where par is rewarded. So I'm really looking forward to it.
It was a really crazy kind of couple of weeks for you because there was a car accident. And, you know, I got to believe, you know, at one point you're happy you're alive. And then another point you're going, hey, I've qualified for the U.S. Open. What happened with the accident?
It was a really tough one. I was making a left, and a lady ran a red light, and I just got T-boned really bad. I was very much in shock at the time. I had blood coming from everywhere. I had glass all through my arms, my legs, even all through my face and my hair, and it was a very scary, you know, few days. I was in the hospital for 8-9 hours. We did a bunch of scans. I was in a neck brace for a bit to make sure that everything was stable before you know, getting me out of the neck brace. But everything came back good. I have no broken bones. I was very swollen for a few days. On the Korn Ferry Tour, we have a couple PT guys out there, and we also had a chiropractor in Knoxville, so they worked on me whenever the players weren't in the room, and I made some really big strides within a week, and I ended up playing the following week in Raleigh. I wasn't 100%. I just missed the cut, but all I did was rest and, you know, stick to the PT schedule of getting my shoulder and my body just back to health and a little bit more strength every day to, you know, get ready for that 36-hole Monday, and it obviously paid off. I'm getting healthier every day. I'm out here in South Carolina now playing in the Korn Ferry event. I'm just about back to full strength. I'm still a little slow, But my body is definitely recovering well.
I don't want to say that it helped you, because getting in a car accident like 6 days before you're going to try to qualify to play in the U.S. Open is not helpful. But was there any kind of focus you got from it, or maybe some perspective you got from it that helped you, you know, down the stretch as you're making those birdies to help qualify?
Well, it was 12 days, so I had a little bit longer.
Okay, 12 days. Okay.
Yeah. But it's, you know, just a new perspective. I'm very, very fortunate to be alive, and golf is not the most important thing, but it is something that I love to do. And it showed me when I'm sitting on the sidelines and trying to get my body back, and it's like, man, I just can't wait to get back on the golf course and hit those golf shots. And sitting in the bed, recovering and relaxing, and all I'm doing is visualizing every shot that I'm going to play in the next coming weeks. So I guess it was a good thing, but, you know, never wish that upon anybody.
Yeah. Alistair Daugherty, our guest, he has qualified for the U.S. Open. Your college career, you were the number one NCAA golfer at Division II. Let's go back before that. Like, did you... Because you're a Canadian, like, you're a hockey guy, right? I mean, help us understand, like, golf swing, hockey shot, like, slap shot. Where did you find golf as a kid?
I played hockey until I was 13, 14 years old. I was very small. I got beat up pretty good. And there was just one summer that my dad was like, well, I was recovering from a couple other hockey injuries, and he's like, you're not going to sit on the couch playing video games all summer. What do you want to do? And I was like, you can drop me off the golf course. I enjoyed playing golf and going to the driving range every once in a while. And I ended up just falling in love with the game. He would drop me off at Camas Meadows right before he would leave for work, and he would pick me up on his way home. And I would spend the entire day out there, you know, chipping and putting, hitting some balls, playing 18, maybe sometimes 36 holes. And I became pretty good very quickly, and I ended up making varsity my freshman year in high school, and that was all I wanted to do. It was everything else is out the window. I want to play golf.
It's our researchers tell me that your earliest golf memory came at the U.S. Senior Open in 2010. Bernard Langer was there, and correct me if I'm wrong, he hits a tee shot that hits a tree. And how did that affect your thinking as you watch a pro golfer take a bad shot?
Yeah, I went with my dad to Sahali, and the first shot we saw was, I don't know if it was Bernhard or not, but it was just the first tree on the right. This guy hit a 3-wood and just clanked it off the tree. I was like, oh, professionals hit bad shots too. I was like, I could be one of them.
it was
an unbelievable experience. I mean, looking back on it, and I don't know if anybody else has played Sahali, but that place is like a bowling alley. So hitting a couple trees off the tee box is pretty normal.
yeah. Look, and I also like those moments because I go, okay, it doesn't make me feel so bad. You know, you're going to a U.S. Open, and it's going to be a great experience. You've also been on this Korn Ferry Tour, and you're on a journey. Like, mentally, you know, how does that feel to you to kind of be on that bigger stage in your first major, and, you know, you're playing with house money, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try to treat it just like any other week, but obviously it's definitely the most important. The one that's right in front of me. I'm just trying to take it all in. I'm ready to, you know, learn the ins and outs of Oakmont and see how my game stacks up. I've got a pretty good resume. I mean, for the little bits that I've played on the PGA Tour, I have a second place finish. And just, you know, it's another level of golf that obviously I want to be at, and I believe that I can compete at. So I'm really looking forward to it.
It'll be your first. It'll be Phil Mickelson's last, maybe. You grew up watching some of these guys. How do you avoid, and of course you've been on courses with some legendary golfers, but how do you avoid getting swept up into looking over as you're warming up and seeing Phil Mickelson or Rory McIlroy?
When I was an alternate for the U.S. Open in 2019 at Pebble Beach, I hit balls next to Tiger Woods, and I don't think anything will compare to that. So everybody hits the ball great. It's just how you manage yourself, and you got to just believe in what you're doing and your process, and take it from there.
Help us with that, because it does look like the margins between the guys that are competing at the highest level and maybe the guys that are struggling to get to the tour is so thin. Help us understand. What do you tell your friends when they go, hey, how hard is it to make that step up or that leap up?
Hopefully I can give you a better answer when I do make it. But I really believe it is. It is very, very thin. It's one shot around, essentially, that could make life-changing, you know, opportunities. Everybody would like to take one shot less around and see where it puts them. And obviously the best of the best do that more often than the rest of us.
We're talking to Alistair Daugherty. He's headed to the U.S. Open. Look, you had a lot of people along your way who helped you, influences. I'm sure your parents are influential. Maybe some people listening here in Southern Washington and across the state of Oregon. Is there anybody that you look back in your high school years, your youth golf years in Vancouver that you want to give a shout out to?
I mean, there's so many people down the line. And the one person I would love to shout out to passed away a few years. My original golf coach, my first ever golf coach, the one who taught me everything about the game and how to go about it, Harold Bluestein. Getting emotional even thinking about him. He would be so proud. And I wish I could share this with him.
And I think, you know, in some way you are, right? Like, you know, you get these people along your way in your journey that will pour into you and see something in you and maybe see it before you see it, right?
Yeah. He just saw me at Camas Meadows and saw me at the range every single day, and he's like, "What? Do you have a coach? Have you ever, you know, thought about getting a coach?" And I was like, "No, I have no idea. I'm just a hockey player playing golf." And he kind of just took me under his wing, and he actually didn't charge me for a very long time. He helped me out, and just whenever he had free time, and I told my dad that I started taking lessons, and he was like, "We don't have the money to do that. What are you doing?" And he's like, "No, right. No, Harold's great. He'll talk to you soon. But, like, no, he hasn't charged me anything." So, he was an unbelievable person, and he was very, very influential with my golf.
And why do you think he did it? Why do you think he wanted, you know, because obviously it wasn't about money for him, and it wasn't about him making a living. He was willing to do it for free.
Yeah, I think he must have saw something in me, he's witnessed some of the best golfers. He's been around. He was around the game for forever. He is just an unbelievable human being.
I think you probably could go golfer to golfer on the tour and find that there was a Harold in all those golfers' lives. Look, a lot of people in our region are pulling for you, Alistair, and hoping to see you do some big things, not just in the U.S. Open, but beyond that. Appreciate you giving us some of your time, and go give him hell, man. You're playing loose and free out there. You're playing with house money. I think it's a lot of fun to see a guy chase his dream.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me on.
You bet. Go get it. There he is, Alistair Daugherty. He will compete in the U.S. Open. He qualified just 12 days, he says, after that car accident. I'm not saying a car accident is going to make you a better golfer. It's not. But it would give you some perspective on life. And obviously there's a guy who has competed at a high level and now will continue to do that and playing for more than himself. I mean, I love that anecdote about the coach who poured into him and saw something in him. And, you know, it gets me thinking about the mentors in my life, you know, and frankly, it gets me thinking about, like, a lot of us, as you get older, we all know, like, we could sit around and talk about who the mentor was for us and for me, you know, and Steven and whoever. But there's a point in your life, too, where you know, find a mentor or be a mentor, right? There's a switch that flips when you've got something to offer, and I just love that. I love that story. And you could feel the emotion for Alistair there as he talked about it. U.S. Open 2025, he'll be there, and he'll be competing. Phil Mickelson says it might be his last. For Alistair Daugherty, his first. Leave it here. You have the BFT.